Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 8, I think it's 19 and 20. Yes, 19 and 20. Let's go to that one. 19 and 20. The translation is, kindly explain all about the elementary principles of creation, the number of such elementary principles, their causes, and their development, and also the process of devotional service, and the method of mystic powers. So now we're reading text 20. Translation. What are the opulences of great mystics and what is their ultimate realization? How does the perfect mystic become detached from the subtle astral body? What is the basic knowledge of the Vedic literatures, including the branches of history and the supplementary Puranas? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Yogeshwara, or the master of mystic powers, can exhibit 8 kinds of wonders of perfection by becoming smaller than the atom or lighter than a feather, getting anything and everything he desires, going anywhere and everywhere he likes, creating even a planet in the sky, etc. There are many Yogeshwaras having different proficiencies in these wonderful powers, and the topmost of all of them is Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is the greatest yogi, and he can perform such wonderful things far beyond the ordinary living beings. The devotees of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, do not directly practice the process of mystic powers. But by the grace of the Lord, his devotee can defeat even a great Yogeshwara like Durvasa Muni, who picked a quarrel with Maharaj Ambarish and wanted to show the wonderful achievements of his mystic powers. Maharaj Ambarish was a pure devotee of the Lord, and thus, without any effort on his part, the Lord saved him from the wrath of Yogeshwara Durvasa Muni. And the latter was obliged to beg pardon from the king. Similarly, at the time of Draupadi's precarious position, when she was attacked by the Kurus who wanted to see her naked in the open assembly of the royal order, the Lord saved her from being stripped by supplying an unlimited length of sari to cover her. And Draupadi knew nothing about mystic powers. Therefore, the devotees are also Yogeshwaras by the unlimited power of the Lord, just as a child is powerful by the strength of the parents. They do not try to protect themselves by any artificial means, but are saved by the mercy of the parents. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the learned Brahmana Sukadev Goswami about the ultimate destination of such great mystics, or how they attain such extraordinary powers by their own efforts or by the grace of the Lord. He inquired also about their detachment from the subtle and gross material bodies. He inquired also about the purports of the Vedic knowledge. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the whole purport of all the Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental loving servant of the Lord. Om Gyanantimirandasya Gyanan Gyana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swaparantekam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarjatam Sagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sarivam Sajvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Paran Sri Laita Vishakan Vitam Sarjivam Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpate, Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupyasya Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I cut short the kirtan because this is a very wonderful class, plus this topic on Bhagavatam. Plus, today is Jayadev Goswami's disappearance day. So we'll talk about a little bit about Jayadev. He's a great poet. So nice two songs we'll cover today, later on. Today we'll just mainly cover this text 20, because 19 is already... We kindly explain all about elementary principles of creation. More questions by King Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. So one is speaking and one is hearing. Who is doing what? Maharaj Parikshit is hearing. Sukadeva Goswami is answering questions. Okay. So again, we continue with this chapter with more questions. So, this is all for our benefit. Maharaj Parikshit is already a pure devotee, but this all dialogue is mainly to us, help us in our devotional service. So I've made a few notes, so we'll go through it time to time. Okay, so Maharaj Ambarish, it says here, he was being chased by Durvasa Muni. So that episode is actually in Canto 9, Chapter 4, and the verses are 18 to 20. So I'll just read that because we need to know who is a devotee and who is a muni. So we'll just read about Maharaj Ambarish. Yeah. He engaged, this is, as I said, 18 to 20, yes? 18 to 20. Chapter 9, Canto 9, Chapter 4. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind in meditating about lotus feet of Krishna. So he engaged his mind in meditating. His words in describing glories of the Lord. His hands in cleaning the Lord's temple. His ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. So, when Krishna is speaking, what is that book called? He's speaking to Arjun. That book is called Bhagavad Gita. When people are talking about Krishna and his devotees, that book is called Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes? So, two books, they're called Krishna Katha. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And, right, so he hears these words, which we are doing now. He engages his eyes in seeing the deity of the Lord. So we have Radha Gokulananda here. And all temples, Krishna temples. And also you use your eyes when you're visiting Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri, or places of pilgrimage. Mathura and Vrindavan. He engaged his sense of touch in touching the bodies of Lord's devotees. So, you know, when you meet a devotee after a long time, we can offer obeisances, or if we are very friendly, we hug them. Yeah? So we touch the body. He engaged his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulsi offered to the Lord. Now, we also smell the flowers which are offered to the Lord, yes? But some of the pujaris, we are fortunate that we, in the evening you can, when you are the tulsi leaves which are offered in the morning with sandalwood paste, they are on the lotus feet of the Lord. So in the evening we take the lotus feet, the tulsi leaf from the feet, and those are in this tin here in the pujari room as maha tulsi. So people can smell, yes, the tulsi leaf from the lotus feet. So, and then he engaged his tongue in tasting the prasad, Lord's prasad, which we'll do after class. Every morning after Bhagavatam class, there is prasadam. So we use our tongue. What's the other use of the tongue? To chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Two purposes. One is to eat prasadam. The other one is to chant the holy name. So Maharaj Amrish was using for prasadam, yes? He engaged his legs in walking to the holy places. Now we, in India, the temple, if you live near the Krishna Balaram temple, you walk to the temple. But if you are far away, you take a rickshaw, or like in London or Western countries, you take the car. Yes? But you should come to the temple and worship and look at the deities. So that's, he engaged his legs in walking, his head in bowing down. We all do this. We bow down to Srila Prabhupada first and then to the deities. And all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Now this is what we don't, I don't do it. But, you know, we are, that's the high aim. We are supposed to divert, or actually divert our attention from ourselves to Krishna and serve him rather than serve our senses. We have to serve Krishna's senses. So Maharaj Amrish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service, in various engagements related to the Lord. This is the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. So that, well, I thought was very, very good to give you an idea of who a devotee is. And then on 25, verse number 25, same chapter, same canto, those who are saturated with the transcendental happiness of rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are uninterested even in the achievements of great mystics. For such achievements do not enhance the transcendental bliss felt by a devotee who always thinks of Krishna within the core of his heart. See, we have Ananda Gopa here, head pujari. So every second, every minute, he's engaged fully in how to serve, how, you know, other devotees coming to cook, other devotees coming to dress. He has to supervise every single thing, but he's actually, I think, somebody will always ask him, can I do this, can I do that? But they're always talking about Krishna. So he's fully engaged in Krishna service. So later on we'll see that Durvasa Muni, he got angry because he was invited as a guest. He was not invited actually. He just appeared in Ambarish Maharaj's house uninvited. But the custom is that anybody uninvited, if they come home, you have to treat them as if they are God. You have to treat them very nicely. So anyway, Ambarish Maharaj, being a devotee, he welcomed him. He said, please take a seat, etc., etc. Then Durvasa Muni, he went, he said, I must go and have a bath in the Yamuna. And then when he comes back, he'll take prasad and honor prasadam. But he was such a great mystic that he could see, you know, from far or near or whatever, he had this mystic power, too many mystic powers. So he's partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. So it's mentioned here, Lord Shiva's got full. Like Krishna is Bhagwan, he's full in six opulences. Lord Shiva is also great mystic. He's full of all the eight mystic yogas. He's complete. So Durvasa Muni is a partial incarnation. So he could also see from far that, oh, Ambarish Maharaj, in order to break the fast, which he did on the authority of the priests who were there present, they guided him. Look, the time is coming near to break the fast. So what should I do? So the priest said, take water. It's okay because you are not breaking the fast and you are breaking the fast. So water is such a thing. So that's what he did because the time was approaching to break the fast. So Ambarish Maharaj drank a little water. But when Durvasa Muni came with his mystic power, he saw that Maharaj Ambarish had broken the fast. So Durvasa Muni became very angry, very, very angry. And then there's another episode where Lord Shiva plucks a hair and then puts it on the ground and then a big demon appears. So similarly here, Durvasa Muni, they have got mystic powers in their head actually. I suppose that's why we don't have long hair. We just cut our hairs, you know, so we are under control. But anyway, Durvasa Muni, he plucked a hair and then a demon appeared. And that demon was going to endanger Maharaj Ambarish, a devotee of Krishna. So how can Krishna tolerate that? So Krishna then uses his Sudarshan Chakra and to kill the demon. And then he was so annoyed with Durvasa Muni that such pure devotee of mine is being chased by or harassed by you. Let's give him a lesson. So then this Sudarshan Chakra is actually chasing Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni, he keeps running from A to B to 3, C, D, etc. And then he goes to different planets because, as we said, he's got this mystic power. He can go from A to B. So then he approaches Lord Brahma first. Lord Brahma says, you know, we are all servants of Lord Krishna. And if Sudarshan Chakra comes, that is Vishnu's weapon. We can't do anything. I'm sorry, you go to Lord Shiva or Lord Krishna. So Durvasa Muni then goes to Lord Shiva and same answer. And then Lord Shiva says, go to Lord Vishnu. So then Durvasa Muni goes to Lord Vishnu and then Krishna says to Maharaj Ambarish, you have offended my devotee, so I can't help you. You have to go to the devotee and ask for forgiveness. So then all the way back he comes here and then he begs for forgiveness from Maharaj Ambarish. But Maharaj Ambarish, being a devotee, he knows Durvasa Muni is a great mystic, great yogi. He just doesn't look anything bad. This is a good quality for devotee. He doesn't look anything bad on anybody else. He's always looking good in everyone. So he says, no, I have to ask forgiveness that I broke fast. So he admits that he did something. But a devotee never tries to hide things. He just openly says what he did. And that's it. So he's always begging for Krishna's protection, and Krishna protects the devotee. So the lesson to learn here is devotees are very powerful. They don't need to undergo all this mystic eight siddhis. Krishna always looks after them. The other story is about Draupadi in the Purport. But I will tell you something good about Durvasa Muni. Draupadi, when she was serving Durvasa Muni very nicely, she pleased Durvasa Muni. So what did Durvasa Muni give as a benediction? He gave her a pot. It's called Akshapatra. It's coming, I think, soon. This Vasant Panchami, I think, or yeah, so that day it was given. Durvasa Muni was so happy with the service of Draupadi that he gave her this Akshapatra. What that means is that she can cook for any amount of people, and until they have all finished eating prasadam, and then she finally takes prasadam after everyone else has taken prasadam. So there is no limit, to how many devotees can be fed. So that's another story. But she actually got this Akshapatra because of her serving Durvasa Muni. Now, here in this situation where Dushasan, brother of Duryodhan, bring Draupadi after this gambling match they lost, and Yudhishthira Maharaj lost this gambling match. They lost everything. So they didn't have any powers to protect Draupadi. There were other senior devotees in the assembly. They could not also help Draupadi. And Dushasan tried to disrobe her present her naked in the assembly. So what happened is that, of course, Dushasan tried very hard. But then Krishna, again, when he wants to save his devotee, he will do anything. So he supplies unlimited saris. If you go to a sari shop, the saris are in a roll, or this fabric is in a roll, So it's like that he just supplied unlimited saris to Draupadi. So she was saved. But when did she actually ask Krishna to help? She initially, when she was getting disrobed, she just held on to the sari with one hand and whatever. So, but when she actually surrendered fully to Krishna, that this is hopeless because Dushasan is very strong and is disrobing me. When she fully surrendered, then she put both hands to Krishna. So this is why, one reason why we chant Hare Krishna and put our hands like this picture, everyone's got hands up, is that we are totally surrendering to Krishna. That's what that means. You're not holding on to with one hand, So that's the idea. We should totally surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna helps. I've heard, or whatever. When you're in the ocean and you're trying to save yourself, if you're an expert swimmer or whatever, finally, when you give up, you just have to, surrender. Put both your hands, and then somebody might save you. In a swimming pool also, they might save you. Yeah? That's why there's a lifeguard course or something. People take swimming. So they will help you. But you have to put your hands up. And then in an ocean, if somebody throws a rope from a helicopter or somewhere, rescue people, what do we have to do? We have to hold on to that rope. If we don't, we die, drown. So, anyway, Krishna here, he was waiting until Draupadi totally surrenders, then he helps his devotee. So those are two examples there, which was in the purport. Draupadi and Durvasa Muni. Now we have a little time to cover. What is it? Yes. Let's cover 15:15. It says Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Now, what is purpose there? Anybody know the verse? Sarvasya chaha mridi sanavisto matas mithi yukyatam apuhanam cha vedas cha sarve aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Okay. Now, the translation is very important. It says, from me comes remembrance. 1 minute. Let's find out. 15:15. It is there, I think. Yes. Sarvasya chaham ready sannavisto mata smriti jnanam apohanam cha Vedascha sarve aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit vedavid eva chaham. Yes? So I'm seated in every heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I'm to be known. Indeed, I'm the compiler of Vedanta, and I'm the knower of the Vedas. So what's the final conclusion here? We have to know Krishna. That is the purpose of the whole Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to try and know Krishna. So this verse explains what Srila Prabhupada is saying. The whole purport in the last paragraph, last sentence, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, the whole purport of the Vedas is to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become a transcendental loving servant of the Lord. So we have to become servants, not masters. We have to become servants. Now, another thing which comes in the text itself, there is a word called linga, astral body. Again, I'll refer to our deity worship because that's where every day we read this. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, here. Okay, I'm going to read it loud. This is to purify the bodily elements by identifying oneself as the eternal servant of the servant of Lord Krishna. It's called Bhuta Siddhi. Sudhi. Bhuta Sudhi. Sudhi means purification. And Bhuta means, purification of the elements. So I'm trying to explain the word linga, what it means. Okay. Now, it says here, I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. This is our eternal position. But because of my bad fortune, I have been inimical toward him from time immemorial. And thus I have identified myself with my body and continuously wandered in the cycle of birth and death in the material world, suffering the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of some unimaginable good fortune, my spiritual master's mercy has enabled me to know that I am Krishna's eternal servant. An infinitesimal spiritual being completely apart from the gross and subtle body. This is what it means. Linga means you are apart from even gross and also subtle body. And so by the order of my spiritual master, I have obtained the good fortune of serving his lotus feet and following in his footsteps the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri Radha Gokulanandan. So I thought that was very important. And one more thing. Right. When we read about Narad Muni in the first canto, towards the end, this is important, if I can read this loudly. As spirit is not annihilated even after annihilation of the material body, so also spiritual consciousness is not annihilated. Sri Narada developed this spiritual consciousness even when he had his material body in the previous kalpa. Consciousness of the material body means spiritual consciousness expressed through the medium of a material body. This consciousness is inferior, destructible, and perverted. But superior consciousness of the supramid in the spiritual plane is as good as the spirit soul and is never annihilated. So we still hold on to our identity, but that is spiritual identity. This is the meaning of the word linga. It's a very technical meaning. Now it's 8:15. I'm going to move on a little bit now to Jayadev Goswami. He's a poet, very important poet in our line of disciplic succession. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have to finish normally at 8:30. So at 8:30 or 8:25, in 10 minutes time, I will, with your permission, put Srila Prabhupada on tape so you can hear about the Dasa avatars. And he explains very nicely, so I cannot overrule Srila Prabhupada. It's better to listen to him directly. Okay? So that I will do at about 25, in 10 minutes time, roughly. Okay. So, Dasa avatar, we'll just do briefly. The fish avatar, the number one, first one is the fish avatar. It says, Meena Sarira. So that's the fish incarnation out of the 10. The second one is tortoise, where Krishna comes as Kurma avatar. Okay? And third incarnation is boar incarnation, Varaha incarnation. So it's called Sukara in Sanskrit, in the poet language. And then fourth one is Narsingadev, who comes as half man, half lion. So in the song it is called Narahari Rupa. Fifth incarnation is the dwarf Brahman, Vamana. Yes? Vamana Rupa. Sixth is Parushuram. He destroyed 21 generations of Kshatriyas who were irreligious kings. And he is called Bhrigupati Rupa. Seventh incarnation is Lord Ram. He beheaded Ravana. He killed Ravan. He had 10 heads. So he destroyed that demon. So he's called Rama Sarira. Eighth one is Balaram. Balaram always has a plow. So he's called Haladhara Rupa. Ninth incarnation is Buddha. So it's called Buddha Sarira. And 10th is coming at the end of Kali Yuga. He's called Kalki Avatar. Kalki Sarira. So we'll hear exactly more detail from Srila Prabhupada. Those who can wait 5 more minutes or 10 more, you can listen to Srila Prabhupada. The other poem, song written by Jayadev is Gita Govinda. Now, Gita Govinda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises us that we should be very careful whom we are speaking about to. So because this is going on air, I won't be discussing too much about Gita Govinda, but there is a reference, of course, that you can read at your own time. Jayadev Goswami, basically in that Gita Govinda, he is expressing the feelings of Krishna and Radha and the gopis. Now, if you know about Gopi Geet, which comes in the 10th canto, Gopi Geet is when Krishna leaves the rasa dance and all the gopis are trying to find Krishna. So, Gopi Geet is about the separation of the gopis from Krishna. And they're all singing different songs or different sentences or different paragraphs, each one describing, oh, Krishna was so lovely, he was with me only and doing this. Every single gopi thinks Krishna is with him only. So everyone was describing, while they were missing Krishna, they were still describing Krishna's pastimes. So this is gopis, they're always thinking 24/7. About Krishna. But that situation, Gopi Geet, is where the gopis are separated from Krishna and they are missing Krishna. This Gita Govinda is a little twist. Here, Radharani is getting not a jealous. She never is jealous. She gets little disturbed seeing Krishna with the other gopis, and then Krishna and the gopis, they are having a nice relationships, but then Radharani got upset and she walked out of the rasa dance. So this is where Radharani is disappearing, and then Krishna says, where is Radha? Where is Radha? So Krishna is trying to find Radharani. So this is Gita Govinda. But the details are in the song. There are 24 stanzas. It's divided into 12 chapters, the Gita Govinda book. But then each one is sort of divided into two. So there's 24. It's called Prabandhas. The technical word is called Prabandhas. Jayadeva was born in a village called Kindu Bilwa, and the parents were Kamala Bai, mother Kamala Bai, and father was Narayan Shastri, a Brahmin. They are Brahmin, pure Brahmin family. And they were in the line in the Telugu. They speak Telugu, so South Indian. Jayadeva got married to a lady called Padmavati. So that was this. And he was, at that time, you know, great poets, they were allocated to one particular palace, a king, you know. So the king's poet of Orissa, king of Orissa's poet was Jayadev Goswami. So that's what we can learn. And Orissa is near Jagannath Puri. So that's all I know about Jayadev Goswami, yeah. So, I think we covered everything there. Okay, now if you have time, please stay and listen to what Srila Prabhupada has to say. Yes, oh yeah, that would be very good. So what do? We put this here. Okay. Technology, very good, absolutely good.
This is a song sung by great Vaishnava poet Jayadeva Goswami. The purport is that when there was devastation, the whole universe was flooded with water. The ultimate dissolution of this material world will be first of all, there will be no water. All water on the earth will be dried up by scorching heat of the sun. The sun will become 12 times stronger as it is at the present moment. In that way, evaporate all the waters, the seas and the oceans will be all evaporated. Therefore, all living creatures on the earth will die. And then, due to scorching heat, practically everything will be turned into ashes. Then there will be rain for 100 years, torrents of rain, like the trunk of the elephant. And thus the whole universe will be filled with water. That is called pralaya payadhi. At the time of devastation, pralaya, the whole universe will be, just like it is now, filled with air. At that time it will be filled up with water. At that time, Vedas will be saved by the Lord on a boat, and the boat will be stuck up in the wings of the great fish. That great fish is the incarnation of Krishna. Therefore, he is worshipping Keshavadhita Meena Sarira, Jaya Jagadish. So Meena Sarira. And the next is, Khitiriha Vipulatare Tishthati Tava Prishthe Dharani Dharana Kina Chakra Garish. So, there will be churning next incarnation is tortoise. On the back of the tortoise, the Meru Parvat will be fixed up, or the world will rest on the back of the tortoise. This is second incarnation. First fish, and then tortoise. Then, Varaha avatar, one demon, Hiranya, Hiranya, Kashyapu and Hiranyaksha. So, he will, by his demonic activities, will throw the earth on the Garbho sea. There is a sea within this universe. Half of the globe is filled up with Garbha Samudra, on which Garbha Sai Vishnu is there, and from him a lotus stem comes out, wherein Brahma takes birth. So all the planets are hanging as different stems of this original stem coming out from the abdomen of Garbhodu Sai Vishnu. So, one demon of the name Hiranyaksha, he will put this earth within this water. And at that time, the Lord will come out in the incarnation of Varaha. The Varaha incarnation came as a small insect from the nose of Brahma. And when he put it on his hand, it began to increase. In this way, he assumed a very gigantic body, and with his tusk, he picked up the earth from within the water of Garbho ocean. That is called Keshavadhita Varaharu. The next is Tavakara Kamala Bare Nakha Madhuta Singham Dalita Hiranya Kashyapu Tanu Bhengam. Hiranya Kashyapu, he was another demon who wanted to be immortal. So he took benediction from Brahma that he will not die on land, in the sky, or in the water. So in order to keep as it is, the benediction given by Brahma, Lord Krishna tries to honor the words of his devotee. So Brahma gave him benediction, yes, you will not die on land, on water, and sky. But Nrisimhadev appeared as half lion, half man, because Hiranyakashipu also took benediction from Brahma that he will not be killed by any man or any animal. So he assumed the form of something which you cannot say in man or animal, and he put the demon on his lap, which is neither land, water, or sky. And he wanted to not to be killed by any weapons. Therefore, the Lord killed him with his nails. Nail is not considered as weapon. In this way, he wanted to cheat Brahma, but the Lord is so intelligent that he cheated Hiranyakashipu and killed him. Keshavadhita Narahari Rupa Dalita Hiranyakashipu Tanu Bhringam. Just like with our nails, we can kill any insect. Take an ant, you can bifurcate it. Similarly, the Hiranyakashipu was such a giant demon. He was compared just like a little insect and was killed by the nails of the Lord. Then, next incarnation is Vamandev. This Bhavan left, a dwarf. He went to Balu Maharaj and asked him 3 feet land. And his guru, Shukracharya, induced him not to promise because he is Vishnu. But Balu Maharaj was very much satisfied to offer something to Vishnu. He gave up the connection of his guru because he forbade him to serve Vishnu. Therefore, Balu Maharaj is one of the Mahārāja. Nobody can check the worship of Vishnu. If anyone checks, he may be guru, he may be father, he may be relative, he should be rejected immediately. Therefore, Balu Maharaj is a Mahārāja. He showed this example because his guru put hindrances on the path of his worshipping Lord Vishnu. He gave up the connection of his guru. So, by this process, he begged. But that was not begging, practically, that was cheating. But Balu Maharaj agreed to be cheated by the Lord. That is the symptom of a devotee. The devotee agrees to any action of the Lord. When Balu Maharaj saw that the Lord wanted to be cheated, by asking 3 feet land, he'll take the whole universe. So he agreed. And by 2 feet, the whole universe was covered, up and down. Then Bhavandev asking, where is to keep the 3rd feet? So Balu Maharaj agreed, my Lord, you keep it on my head. I've got my body still. In this way, he purchased Lord Vishnu, Bhavandev. And Bhavandev remained as the doorkeeper of Balu Maharaj. So, by giving everything, Sarvatma Sapane Bali, he gave everything to Lord. And by that giving up, he purchased the Lord. He remained voluntarily as doorkeeper of Balu Maharaj. Chalayasi Bikramane Boli Madhubhuta Bhavana Padanakha Nira Janita Janapa. When Bhavandev expanded his leg upward by his toe, there was a hole in the covering of the universe, and through that hole the Ganges water came from Vaikuntha. Padanakha Nira Janita, and that Ganges water is flowing now in the universe, sanctifying everywhere, wherever the Ganges water is there. Padanakhani rajanita janna pava. Then next incarnation is Bhrigupati, Parashuram. Parashuram is a Saktavesh avatar. So, he 21 times killed the Kshatriyas. So out of Parashuram's fear, all the Kshatriyas, they migrated towards Europe, it is said in the history of Mahabharata. So, 21 times he attacked all the Kshatriyas. They are not in order, so he killed them. And there is a big tank in Kurukshetra where all the bloods were reserved. Later on it became water. So, Kshatriya Rudhira, in order to pacify the aggrieved earth, he soaked the earth with the blood of the Kshatriyas. Snapayasi payasi samita bhavatap vitarasi diksurane dikpati kamaniyam dasamukha mauli baling ramani. Then next avatar is Ramchandra. So the Ravan, who had 10 heads, he challenged the Lord, and Lord Ramchandra took up the challenge and killed him. Then, Bahusi Bapusi Visadhi Basananga Jaladavam Halayati Bhiti Milita Jamuna. When Baladev wanted Jamuna to come near him, so she was not coming, and therefore with his plow, he wanted to bifurcate the earth. And at that time, Jamuna submitted and she came near to the Lord. Halayati bhiti Jamuna. halayati bhite milita jamunam. So Jamuna was punished by Lord Baladev. Keshava dhita haladhara rupa. Haladhara means plow. Haladhara rupa jaya jagadisha. Next, Buddha, Lord Buddha, nindasi jagga vidhi raha sthitiya. Lord Buddha defied the Vedic injunction because his mission was to stop animal killing, and in the Vedas, in some of the sacrifices, animal killing is prescribed. So, those are so-called followers of the Vedic rules, they wanted to stop Buddhadev in his mission for stopping animal killing. So therefore, when people wanted to give evidence from the Vedas, that in the Vedas there is description, there is sanction of animal killing in sacrifices, why you are stopping? He, Nindasi, he defied. And because he defied the authority of Vedas, therefore, Buddha philosophy was not accepted in India. Nastik, anyone who will deny the authority of the Veda, he will be called a Nastik, non-believer. Vedas cannot be disrespected. So in this way, Lord Buddha, to save the poor animals, he sometimes defied the injunction of the Veda. Keshavadhita Buddha Sarira Jaya Jagadisha. The next avatar is Kalki avatar. We are awaiting after 400,000 of years from this time, the Kalki avatar will come and he will take a sword on the horseback just like a king. He will simply go on killing all these non-believers, godless creatures. There will be no more preaching. As in other incarnations, there is preaching. In Kalki avatar, the population of the whole world will be so much reduced to animalism that there will be no more power to understand what is God or what is spiritualism. And it is already there in the Kali Yuga. It will increase. People will have no power to understand this philosophy, God consciousness. So at that time there is no other alternative than to kill them all and is ushering another Satyayuga. That is the way of our evolution.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? I know we are a bit late, but maybe one question, if there is a question or comments, mistakes, please rectify. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.